herself betrayed no enthusiasm for the task. Tobo's hovering did nothing to improve her temper. "Before he does anything else, I want to have him check on Surendranath Centaraxita."
"So you don't trust a librarian after all?"
One Eye said. He chuckled. "I think he's all right, but why hand him a chance to break my heart if I can avoid it by keeping an eye on him?"
"How come it's got to be my eye?"
"There's not a sharper one available, is there? And you already turned down a chance to work on the annals. I've got to do some heavy studying in those tonight. I might be on the track of something." The little wizard grunted. "I think I found something at the library today. If Centaraxita doesn't trip me up, I may have an outside view of the first coming of the company by the end of the week. An independent historical source has been a goal almost as long as has been our desire for a look at uncontaminated editions of the earliest three volumes of the Annals. Sara had something else on her mind. Barundandi wants me to bring Sawa to work, Sleepy." "No. Sawa is on hiatus. She's sick. She has cholera, if that's what it takes. I'm finally starting to make some real headway. I'm not going to let that slide now. He's also been asking about Shiki." Back when Tobo had accompanied his mother to the palace occasionally, she had called him Shikandini, which was a joke Jal Barundandi never got, because he was not the sort to pay attention to historical mythology. One of the kings of legendary Hastinapur had had a senior wife who seemed to be barren, a good guni. He prayed and made sacrifice faithfully, and eventually one of the gods stepped down from heaven to tell him he could have what he wanted, which was a son. But he was going to get it the hard way, for the son would be born a daughter. And, as they say, it came to pass that the wife brought forth a daughter, whom the king then named Shikandin, a name that also existed in the female form, Shikandini. It is a long and not that interesting story, but the girl grew up to become a mighty warrior. The trouble started when it came time for the prince to take a bride. Many of our public characters have obscure allusions or jokes built into them. That helped make things more interesting for the brothers playing the roles. I asked, "Do we have any reason to snatch Barundandi, other than his general sliminess? I thought he was most useful right where he was. Any replacement was sure to be as venal and unlikely to be as kind to me and Subradil. And could we even get him out where we could touch him?" Nobody suggested a strategic reason for grabbing the man. Sara wanted to know, "Why do you ask?" "Because I do think we could lure him, if we dress Tobo up pretty, then refuse to cooperate unless Barundandi meets him outside." Sara was not offended. The ruse is a legitimate weapon of war. She looked thoughtful. "Maybe Gokhale instead?" "Perhaps. Though he might want someone younger. We can ask Swan. I was thinking of catching Gokhale in the place where the deceivers killed that other one. The enemy's leading personalities seldom left the palace, which was why we had chosen to go get Willow Swan." Sara began to sing. Murgan was reluctant again tonight. I said, "Murgan should look at that joy house, too. He'd be the best way for us to check it out. Though, no doubt, we could find several brothers willing to risk themselves."